Very pleasant good morning to everyone, and I do appreciate so much all your thoughts and prayers as we were traveling this past week, and many have expressed that they are glad that we came back safely, and I'm thankful for you, thankful for your prayers for our family. Appreciate Brother Eddie and leading our songs this morning and helping us to focus on the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 3 and verses 13 through 16 as we think about the new year that is before us beginning tomorrow. As you are very aware, today is the last day of 2023. Wow, that was a quick year, wasn't it? And tomorrow, we start 2024. Do you have any resolutions? I resolve to eat more food, to gain more weight. I resolve to sit on the couch and not exercise. No, of course not. That's not what people resolve, right? What do we want to do? We want to do better. We want to eat less, lose weight. Exercise more. At least that's how many people look at the new year, as an opportunity to make some changes in my life, right? And that's not a bad thing to do. Of course, we should be wanting to make changes in our life every day of the year, not just on New Year's. But it's not a bad thought to think about those things at this time. And so, taking that idea, let's look at Philippians chapter 3. And verses 13 through 16, the Apostle Paul is writing here to the church at Philippi. And he says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Resolutions, yes, sometimes we make them, sometimes we keep them, sometimes we don't. But let's think about resolving to do some things in our lives in 2024 as Christians. Let's think about this passage, Philippians 3, 13 through 16, and resolving to think about a few matters today. You know, God gives us the power to do His will within our lives every day of the year. And you say, well, how does He do that? Through the message of the gospel. Romans chapter 1 verse 16, Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." The gospel, that's the power. That's how we have the ability that we have to learn and to grow, to overcome our past failures, and to reach toward an ever hopeful and optimistic future. That's the power that works in us, the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The only question is, am I going to let that message live in me? Am I going to let the gospel work in my life? In Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21, Paul says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Unto him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus unto all generations forever and ever. Amen." The power that works in us. What is that power? It's the gospel. It's the gospel power. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. And so with that power working in us, let us resolve, first of all, as the Apostle Paul says here, to bury the past. Forgetting those things which are behind, he says. Bury the past. Now, burying the past doesn't mean that we can't learn from the past. In fact, the Bible even tells us to learn from the past in some places. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 says, whatsoever things were written beforehand were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. So we must learn from the past. That is good, and that is acceptable. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11 says, now these things happened to them by way of example, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the worlds or the ages have come. We can read the past, we can learn from that past, and we can grow because of it. But we cannot change the past. That's one thing that we can't do, and so we've got to learn to accept it and live with it. But we don't live in it. We don't live in the past. We don't make it that thing upon which we focus and we can never break out of. We've got to understand what the role of the past is and then go forward. Look at Joshua chapter 1, for example. And maybe you remember the situation in the book of Joshua here when the children of Israel were coming out of the period of wanderings, and now they are going to face the giants, those enemies within the land of Canaan that God said, I've given them into your hands. Maybe they were comfortable back in Egypt where they had plenty of things to eat, they said at one point. And then God brought them into the wilderness. And now they're moving out of the wilderness in the comfort of God's providential protection, where he fed them manna every day and he gave them water, quail, all kinds of things. But now they're moving into the land of Canaan. And what does Joshua say here? Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Moses is dead. Everything that he did, what he did was good, but he's dead. He's in the past now. Now your job, Joshua, is to go forward. Go into this land of Canaan and conquer this land. Look at verse 6. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to your fathers to give them. Verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We're going forward into the unknown. And we don't know what's going to happen in 2024. You know, years ago, I was involved with the congregation. And this was back in 2013, 2014. And a lot of congregations did this around this time. They had what they called a 2020 vision, right? Where do we want to be by the year 2020 is what they said. And then they had all these plans and they made all these goals. And they said, by the year 2020, we want to do this. We want to do that. And then 2020 came here. And what happened in 2020? The big pandemic, right? And guess where all those 2020 visions went? They went with the pandemic. So you see, we don't know. We don't know what the future is going to bring. And to some degree, that can be a daunting thing. But you know what we do know? We know who our God is. And we know what He has done for His people in the past. And we can go forward into the future into the year 2024 with Him at our sides and face anything that may come our way. Be strong and of good courage. Bury the past. When we negatively reflect upon the mistakes of the past and fail to forgive ourselves, fail to forgive others, live in the past, let that define us, it is a corrupting influence. We've got to forgive. We've got to forgive one another. We've got to forgive ourselves. We've got to deal positively with the mistakes of the past, with the problems of the past. All of those things. Work on them and bring them around to Christ's point of view. Yes, there's problems. Yes, there's going to be problems, but we can face them. Am I going to be perfect in 2024? Probably not. Probably I'm going to make some mistakes. Probably I'm going to commit some sins. Does that mean I should do that? No. But I know how to face those things. I know how to handle those things. God has given me His Word, and through that Word, I can address anything that needs to be addressed in my life, and so can you. We have great potential to do what is good. That's what we need to be focusing on. The potential to do what is good and what is right and what is holy and what is pure. Let's forget the things of the past and go forward. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul says, "For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Everything that we do is done in the present. You cannot change the past, but you don't have to live in it. We live in the present. All of our actions are in the present. And as we go forward, we face whatever comes our way. Daniel had a great attitude in Daniel chapter 1. You remember there? He and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had been taken into captivity. And now they were being forced to eat and drink things that were unclean. And what did they do? Did they say, "Oh, woe is us"? No. They said, "We're going to find a way to make this right. We're going to find a way to do God's will. Regardless of what our external circumstances are. And we will do that." And so, we must resolve to bury the past. Secondly, we must resolve to look ahead. How many of you have ever run a race? Or done any kind of running at all? Or even walked a little bit? Geraldine's laughing at me. She's like, "I ain't no run no race." Yeah. So, yeah, when you run or when you walk, even when you're doing some serious walking, you've got to look ahead, right? You've got to face forward. Why? Because if you don't, you might fall down. I was watching, I'm sure some of y'all have watched football over the holidays. But you know, there's this video of, and I can't remember which team it was. Which team was it where the umpire, NFL umpire was running backwards and he fell down, and then one of the quarterbacks ran over him and he tripped over him and he fell in the end zone, and Lamar Jackson got a safety because the umpire in the NFL was running backwards and he fell because he was going backwards. What a tragedy for those fans, at least, right? For the rest of us, we got a good laugh out of that. But you know, going backwards can be fraught with peril, danger. We've got to go ahead. We've got to look ahead. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27 says, Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way so that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. What's Paul talking about here? Running this race. Well, when you run a race, you've got to go forward. You've got to look forward. When I was in grade school, when I thought I could run fast, the teacher would always tell us, don't look back to see who's behind you. That'll slow you down. Or the gym teacher, the coach. Don't look behind you. If you look back, you're going to slow down. Keep running. Keep your eyes forward. Look at the goal. That's what we're supposed to do. That's how we're supposed to run. Not with uncertainty, but with discipline. I discipline my body. I bring it into subjection. It's going to do what God wants it to do. Run to obtain. Run with certainty. Run with discipline. Why? So that we won't be disqualified. What happens if you're disqualified? You don't finish the race. We don't want disqualification. Now, none of us have finished this race that are sitting here today. And if we were to say, well, my race is over, I'm done, I'm not going to try anymore, that's a defeatist attitude. We should not be like that. We don't quit in the middle of the race. We don't finish until we cross the finish line. And so Hebrews 12 verse 1 tells us, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We must continue on, whatever that means for us as individuals. Do we think that God cannot use us anymore? Oh, that's not true. God can still use us if we are here and we are breathing. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. If God is for us, who can be against us? Romans 8, 31. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Romans 8, 28. So let's go forward. Let's look ahead toward the future. We have everything to be optimistic about. That doesn't mean we know everything. It doesn't mean we've laid hold on all things. It doesn't mean we're perfect. We forget those things which are behind. We reach forward to the things that are ahead. And we press toward the goal, the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. So let's resolve to bury the past, to go forward into the future, and to put our complete trust in God and Christ. Christ makes all things new. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Revelation 21 and verse 5, He who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And that is great. That is great. "I make all things new," Jesus says. And his renewal in our life each and every day is something that we can depend upon. Now, we've got to trust him to make us new. If we don't trust him to make us new, we're not going to be made new. But if we trust him, then all things are possible. Philippians 4 and verse 13. Paul said there, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Jesus said, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples." That is a message of optimism. But we must abide in Christ. If we abide in Christ, all things are possible. We have been given an unshakable kingdom. Hebrews 12 and verse 28 says, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." Yes, God has given us everything we need for life and godliness. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. Do we believe it? Do we believe it? Or do we turn inward, doubt ourselves, doubt the world, doubt God, doubt Christ, become depressed, forget who we are or why we were made? No. Let's put our trust in God. Let's put our faith in Christ. Let's abide in him. And all things will be made new for us. All scripture is inspired of God and is profitable. It's profitable. We can still profit if we are listening to and studying and practicing the Word of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, furnished completely to every good work. That's how we live. That's how we go forward, by putting our trust in God and Christ, and he reveals himself to us in his holy word. And so to know about God, to know about Christ, we study his word. To know about ourselves, we study his word. We live it, we obey it, we follow it, and we go forward. God has done his part. Are we going to do our part? Are we going to be willing, optimistic, helpful, cooperative? Yes. That's the attitude we need to have. As many of us as are mature, let's have this same mind, Paul says. And so we go forward with an optimistic attitude, working toward the future and working without an excuse. I resolve that in the future, I am going to work without an excuse. Away with all excuses. Let them be gone. Oh, we have many. One of the best excuses that many people use is this one. Well, no one's perfect. But wait a minute. God calls you to perfection. Just because you're not perfect doesn't mean you shouldn't pursue it. No one's perfect. Therefore, I'm not going to even try. Wrong. That's a horrible excuse for living. Or here's another one. I don't have the talent. Well, find something you can do then. Maybe you don't have the talent to do one thing, but you can do something else. Don't make that your excuse for not doing anything at all. I've failed too many times. Oh, there's a good one. I've failed. We could sit down and talk about it for a long time. The number of failures that I've made. But am I going to use that to not try? Of course not. We've got to keep going forward. What about this one? Nobody will listen to me. Nope. Can't use that one either. We got to learn from Moses in Exodus chapter 3. God said to Moses, I will be with you. And he's told us the same thing. But Moses said, what am I going to tell them? What if they won't listen to me? My tongue, you know, it gets tangled up occasionally. God says, who made your tongue? Moses didn't have an excuse. God took away all of his excuses. And he told him, you go do what I've called you to do. That's what we've got to do too. And so let's resolve to work without excuse. Whatever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. Colossians 3, 23 and 24. And so let's resolve to work without excuse. Putting God first within our life, not being like those people in James chapter 4 and verse 13 who said, hey, let's go in one place or another and we'll make money and we'll get gain and we'll be gone for a year or so and then come back. And James says, whereas you do not know what your life is, it is but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. So in light of that, what do we need to do? We need to say, if the Lord wills, we shall do this or that, right? In other words, put the Lord first in your life. Make Him the motivation for working without an excuse. Yes, God will provide. So what are we going to do in this new year, in 2024? What are you going to do as an individual? What are you going to do with your family? What are we going to do as a church? We're going to resolve, number one, to bury the past. Number two, to look ahead. Number three, to put our complete trust in God and Christ. And finally, to work without excuse. We can go forward as God's people with God with us. If God is for us, who can be against us? That's a great question. And you know what? We can do all things through Christ. Are you in a position that Christ is going to help you in this new year? If you are, then that's great. Then we just need to keep working together and going forward. But maybe you're not a child of God. Maybe you need to become a Christian. Through hearing His word and believing it, repenting of sin, confessing Jesus as Lord, and being baptized, you can enter the body of Christ. Jesus said, I make all things new. And He can make you new this very hour. Have a new beginning. Let go of the past and begin going forward with your sins forgiven. What a great way it would be to start 2024. If you need to do that, be happy to help you. You can come, make your desires known right now, if that is your desire, while together we stand and while we sing.